In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There are two teams in the American Football Conference with three wins and zero losses. There could be a third team that joins them tonight in one of the two Monday night football games. But the Kansas City Chiefs and your Pittsburgh Steelers, 3-0, the only teams across the board in the AFC that can say that. And at worst, after this set of games tonight, the Steelers will also have a two-game lead on the rest of the AFC North after three games. The Ravens are 1-2. The Browns are 1-2. And the Bengals, with a win tonight, would be 1-2. A loss would send them to 0-3. It's Donnie Football with you here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. A short one tonight. We will have that Bengals-Commanders game right here on these airwaves. 7:30 is when the NFL on Westwood One coverage begins. So you can tune in right here on The Fan to listen to that game. You can also tune in on your Odyssey app to listen to that game. And the other Monday night football game tonight in Buffalo, the Bills and the Jags kick off at 7:30. The Steelers making a bit of a statement yesterday. 20-10, Pittsburgh beating the LA Chargers, and they played some bully ball in the second half and in the final stretch of that game. I gave out three game balls for this game earlier with Pony and Chris. I will do it again here before I get to some real takeaways that I had from this one that put the Steelers at a 3-win-0-loss record. Calvin Austin gets one. 4 receptions, 95 yards. He had the 55-yard touchdown. I saw some people say, oh, well, that guy almost caught him at the goal line. If you go back and watch that play, given, you know, where he had to go from and given the position he was in, you could still see some of that breakaway speed from Calvin Austin, who now in back-to-back seasons has big touchdown receptions in week 3. Justin Fields gets another one because Justin Fields, and I will get more into this in a little bit, I thought he played easily his most complete game in the black and gold. One of the most complete games in his NFL career. Now, despite what everybody wants to tell you, he actually did have some games in Chicago where he popped off. He had some big games in the last couple of seasons with the Bears. It was the inconsistency that really did him in. 25 of 32, 245, one touchdown through the air, one touchdown on the ground. His first rushing touchdown with the Steelers. He also did have an interception in that game, a goofy play, ball batted up in the air, and of course, Bud Dupree, of all people, comes down with it. Nick Herbig gets the other one. 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, and he only played 19 snaps in that game. Joel Nelson with me tonight behind the glass. By the way, Joel, did you know that Herbig only played 19 snaps and he caused that much damage on the defensive side of the ball?
Did not know that part, Donnie. That's pretty incredible to be playing less than 1/5 of the snaps and kind of change the game, almost like it was T.J. Watt out there.
And I want to jump into that Steelers defense a little bit more as I get into the takeaways that I had from this 20-10 win. That Steelers defense is legit. Only team over the last 10 years to win their first 3 games while allowing 10 or fewer points in each game. That is the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Chargers had -5 yards of offense in the second half in yesterday's game. I know Justin Herbert got knocked out of the game, but that is also, I think, I mean, you have to credit the Steelers for that. They knew, everybody knew, that Justin Herbert was compromised going into the game. The Steelers knew, hey, if we hit this guy, it might not take too many for him to exit the game. And Herbert was looking pretty good before that exit took place. Don't get me wrong. He had himself a nice game brewing before he was taken out. He was 12 of 18, 125, a touchdown. The rating was over 105. And to the Steelers' credit, they attacked. They brought the blitz. They put Herbert on the ground a couple of times. The second time, the one that did him in, a sack courtesy of our guy here at the Fan, a Landon Roberts. The Landon Roberts Show, by the way, this Thursday from 6 to 7. And I will be joining him this week from Mineo's in Allison Park. So please tune into that. This defense so far this season, and I saw Jeremy Fowler from ESPN put this out there, they rank first in total defense, allowing 229.7 yards per game. First in scoring defense, 8.7 points per game. Third in rushing defense, 71.3 yards per game. And they are at number six in pass defense, 158.3 yards per game. The defense that at least in this era we always go back to, I always like to go back to it because it was in my formative years as a fan, that 2008 Super Bowl winning defense, the Steelers across the board were the best in football in multiple categories, and if they weren't first, they were probably second or third. What did that defense rank? Total defense, first, 237.2 yards. Scoring defense, first, 13.9 points per game allowed. Rushing defense, second, 80.3 yards. Pass defense, first, 156.9 yards per game. I know, we're only three games in. You're getting way out ahead of your skis. Don't ever, ever, ever compare this defense to that one in 2008. And I am normally one of those people saying that. But it is finally time that this defense has played up to the price tag and the coaching that we have seen. They are playing awesome football on that side. They are getting after people. They are not letting anything beat them deep. And I think those first two games look a little bit different after this week's set of games. Because, yeah, Justin Herbert dinged up. They still looked good against that Chargers offense. The Broncos come out of nowhere. They hang almost 30 points on Tampa Bay. And the Atlanta Falcons, they're 1-2. They look like one of the better 1-2 teams in all of football. They took the Chiefs down to the wire last night on Sunday Night Football. They went into Philadelphia last Monday and won. And they looked awful offensively against this Steelers defense. Mike Tomlin and his staff, they deserve a lot of credit. I was bashing Mike Tomlin last season. People bash him all the time. I'm sure we could have people tonight that still want to call in and bash Mike Tomlin at 412-928-9370 because I do want to hear what you out there think of your Steelers at 3-0. We have criticized the hires that he's made in the past, specifically at offensive coordinator, but it looks like the Steelers have a competent mind for the first time in a long time at that role. Arthur Smith, it looks like he knows what he's doing, and he hasn't lied to us yet. He explained a couple of weeks ago why they avoided the middle of the field against the Falcons. He respected their safeties a ton. Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, two of the better ones in football. And people thought, oh, it's probably just an excuse. He doesn't want anything between the hashes. By the way, both of those safeties have had big interceptions in the last 2 weeks. Just ask Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, who happen to be pretty good quarterbacks in their own right. And yesterday they attacked. They attacked the middle of the field. And Justin Fields, easily with his most complete game, he was pinpoint in that effort. You can't laugh at that passing chart you see that gets put out there, because it looked legit. It was all over the place. He was able to beat them on every single angle of the field. But Mike Tomlin also deserves credit for that defense. Terrell Austin is the DC, but we know how much control Coach T has over that group, and they have been elite. We may not always love the style, but it is working. This team also has a really good problem at edge rusher. A lot will be made of what Nick Herbig did. And listen, he was an ass kicker yesterday. 2 sacks, 2 TFLs. He played 19 snaps. He was my top player of the game. The debates have now begun with people asking if he is a better player than Alex Highsmith. Oh, should they have paid Highsmith? Should they have traded Highsmith for a receiver? Malzi kept floating out all summer. Should they trade Highsmith for Terry McLaurin? The Steelers now have the ability, injury aside, to have a pretty unbeatable 3-man rotation at edge rusher. They have 3 either good or great players in one of the game's most important positions. The most important position on the defense has turned into the man off the edge. And I would say Herbig starting to look like a good player. The sample size getting a little bit bigger. I think Alex Highsmith is a really good player. And we know that TJ Watt is among the game's best at that position. Cam Hayward is also living up to his deal so far. Everyone was crying about that one too. The amount of pushback that we saw when the Steelers extended Cam Hayward, I almost couldn't believe it. Like, people acted as if it was their money being spent on that deal. And so far, it has been well spent. Maybe he's not stuffing the stat sheet every single week, but Hayward looks very, very good 3 games in. Had a sack yesterday. In fact, he is now 2nd all-time behind only TJ Watt in Steelers history in the sack category. He passed up James Harrison yesterday. And if you have access out there to the All-22 film, you know, not everybody can get it right after the game. One of those guys that does so, Nick Faribault, will be joining us just after 7 o'clock as we lead you into Monday Night Football. But maybe you have NFL Plus. If not, I recommend it. Gives you the ability to watch back full games, condensed games, and eventually, normally about 24 to 48 hours after the game is played, you have access to that All-22 film, like the coaches watch, like the players watch. And Hayward looks like a man possessed in some of those reps. He looks like a man beast on the field. What he is able to do in his mid-30s, he's beating people up on the opposite side of the football. And I'd say that contract ain't looking so bad just 3 games in. Speaking of other deals, Zach Frazier is the real one. That dude is good. He is the real McCoy in the middle of that offensive line. Again, if you have NFL Plus or you have an ability to watch the games back watch that coach's film. The Steelers have their center for the next decade. Beyond a few quarterback center exchanges in the early weeks of the season, he already has what you want in a starting center in this league, and he is bound to join the lineage of great Steelers at that position. Maybe he's not quite to the level of all-time greats like Mike Webster, Dermonti Dawson, or a guy that is a borderline Hall of Famer like Marquise Pouncey. But I think this kid is going to be really, really good in the Steelers' trenches for 10-plus years. And last but not least, I do think the Steelers have found their QB1. I felt like Justin Fields had started to win things over after just week one. The feeling involved, it gave me the sense that it was his job to lose at that point. He didn't have eye-popping numbers in that week one win against the Falcons. But it just gave me a bit of a feeling of, I think there's something here, and I think Mike Tomlin is a big fan of what he sees. Then the Steelers won in week two. He protected the football. He made some big-time throws. Again, the number's not eye-popping, but he showed the ability to make the throws, move the offense down the field, score enough points to win the game, and he didn't turn the football over. Then the Steelers won again in week three. They played another 2-0 team, a team that really matches the same style that the Steelers like to play. He did turn the football over, as mentioned, that goofy interception that Bud Dupree came down with, but he made big throw after big throw all over the field to the boundary on either side, and especially to the middle of the field. He, at points, was dissecting that Chargers defense, which, to their own credit, through a couple of weeks into the season, was also playing at a very, very high level. And Fields looks like the coachable player that people told us he wasn't in Chicago. Oh, this guy's 10-28 as a starter. He can't win. You don't want him leading your offense. He turns the football over too much. He's a mess. All he can do is run. He did have a rushing touchdown yesterday, but he has not leaned on that athleticism and those legs nearly as much as I anticipated. And I'm going to guess not nearly as much as you out there listening anticipated. You probably expected this guy to just take off and run almost every single chance he got. He had 6 rushing attempts yesterday for 6 yards. The Steelers won the game by 2 scores. He threw for 245, had a touchdown through the air and on the ground. He has played to the Tomlin tune, and he has done it well. I think you should give credit where it's due. And I think this kid is your guy going forward. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. Your thoughts on the Steelers starting 3-0. Their first home opener victory since 2020. Their first home opener victory with fans in the stands since 2017. A year in which they went 13-3. Is Justin Fields the guy in your mind? 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on Hayward, Herbig, Highsmith, Watt, Frazier, whoever you want to throw out there. 412-928-9370. Your big takeaways through the first 3 weeks of this season, and your reaction to the Steelers beating the Chargers yesterday 20-10 to move to 3-0. 412 928-9370. I would love to hear from all of you coming up next. 412-928-9370. You can also hit us up on the fan text line, 412-928-9370. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It is Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Donnie Football with you tonight until 7:30. We have Monday Night Football coverage on the Fan, courtesy of the NFL on Westwood One. Commanders and Bengals, since he tries to avoid an 0-3 start. There is another Monday Night Football game tonight as well. Buffalo and Jacksonville, that game kicks off at 7:30. That game cannot be heard on the Fan, but you can find that game on your Odyssey app by just the search function. 412-928-9370. I want your thoughts on your 3-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. A 20-10 win against the Chargers yesterday, and it felt satisfying. It felt like a rare, satisfying Steelers win that we don't get all that often. Like, they actually played well in all facets of the game, and they were better than their opponent in all facets of the game. They didn't win a game despite not scoring a touchdown, or they didn't win a game with just a bunch of field goals. They looked and played better than the LA Chargers yesterday for about 2.5 hours. That game was very, very short, as you could predict, given the style of play from both teams. The game time was 2 hours and 41 minutes. That's quicker than a lot of high-level D1 college games are able to finish one half of football. But I want your thoughts on it. I want to hear from you out there. 412-928-9370. We will start with D-Block in Bethel Park. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Donnie? I just want to say that I think you're spot on with the Frazier thing. I said I think he's going to be steal the draft. And with Justin Fields, a lot of people were saying now that may be also a steal that the Steelers got for just a sixth-round pick, and I think he should stay the starter. But I'm already hearing that there's smoke, that they may be some fire brewing, that the Dolphins and the Raiders have inquired or might be inquired about Russell Wilson. Would you trade him for a pick or a wide receiver?
So I do think that does create a very interesting conversation. When it comes to the draft capital that they would have to get back, I think you're in a situation where you should be in complete command. You should be setting the price here. You should be able, or at least you should try, your goal, as it is with any trade for a GM, they should hold out to rake the other team over the coals. You should be holding legitimately, shoot for a first round pick or second round pick. Do I think they deserve that? Hell no, they don't. For Russell Wilson? No, absolutely not. But that's how you go into those negotiations, and you're able to say at the same time, well, then we'll hold on to him. We have this guy for almost nothing. The price tag could not be smaller. And if something does happen to Justin Fields, if he does either start to play poorly or he gets injured, we have a guy right there we can plug right in. So I think they hold out big time when it comes to trading Russell Wilson. I think they should have the ability to have in their back pocket you know, well, we're going to try to actually get a pretty high pick. I don't think they deserve that. I don't think a team should offer that, but that's absolutely what you should shoot for if you are the Steelers in that negotiation. Dave is in Greensburg. What's up, Dave?
Hey, doing pretty good. Hey, I wanted to comment on Justin Fields and how comfortable he looked in the offense yesterday. That was probably the first time I've seen him that comfortable since he played in Ohio State. I'm a huge Ohio State fan, and Fields tore up the field in when he played for OSU. And I think the Chicago coaching staff mishandled what he could do and how he could be handled. And I think the coach, the offensive coordinator, can really help this kid out. I think there are two matches made in heaven, and I think we're going to have a really good offensive year by the time we get to that eight-game gauntlet at the end of the season.
Dave, I appreciate the call, especially anybody who calls in from Greensburg, my hometown. I think if Arthur Smith had his choice, I think he would be dead set on Justin Fields. He may have been dead set on that before the season even began, because he knows he has a dude that has wheels. If we can teach him the passing aspects of the offense, if we can work with him as a pure thrower of the football, then we really have a dude that can take us a long way. We know he can run. We know the legs are at an elite level, legitimately at an elite level. So let's not worry about him running the football. Let's turn him into an actual passer of the football to also give him that aspect of the game. And so far, okay, have they done anything super crazy with it? No, but they have really, both of them in this process, Fields more so than Smith, but both guys, they have shown a lot of growth with this Steelers offense just 3 weeks in. 412-928-9370, Jason in Maryland. What's up, Jason?
How's it going, Big Don? You mind if I call you Big Don?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. You see, I'm a Maryland kid. I'm a Commanders fan, but my roommate is a Steelers fan. We watch all the games every Sunday, or, you know, whenever the games come on.
Yep.
My question to you is, what do you think has to happen for the Commanders to be able to beat the Steelers?
I think Jaden Daniels can be a pretty good player. And obviously the world will see him in action tonight in just under 2 hours. I know that they are over a touchdown favorite, and Joel and I will pick those games in a little bit. I'll let Joel cook a little bit, think of some of his best bets for the night, maybe cook up a little same gamer. I think Jaden Daniels can be a dangerous player, but Mike Tomlin really does do well against rookie quarterbacks. I know last season he got beat by a couple of them. C.J. Stroud popped off. Dorian Thompson-Robinson beat them. But Daniels, given the pedigree and where he was drafted, matches up more so to somebody like Stroud. He would have to find a way to break through on this defense. Right now, 6 to 7 weeks out, it's hard for me to project how a rookie like that would do against a defense that is clicking on all cylinders the way we're watching it. Anthony is downtown. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas. First and foremost, that guy, I won't mention his name, but his initials is some guy over 60. You need to watch some more football. You got to be patient. I said it the last 2 weeks. Be patient with this offense. It's going to get better. We're slowly but surely peeling the top off. And you see some things like you guys had mentioned already, passing down the middle. The only real blemish I saw is when the Chargers had that touchdown drive. There was a miscommunication on defense, and we only had 10 men on the field. So other than that, I say we just keep staying the course. Don't make any stupid trades, because these teams we're talking about are in the AFC, and we might have to play them later. We need that insurance policy.
Yeah, I mean, they play – I know the Raiders got brought up there too. They play the Raiders in a couple of weeks. They are just a few games removed from playing in Las Vegas. So that was one that they will face in just a few weeks' time. The Dolphins have a big question now at quarterback. Nobody really knows yet about Tua's future. What about Skylar Thompson? He got injured yesterday. They have a lot of explosive players on the outside, but that's a case where you really have to push the limit when it comes to draft capital or maybe another receiver they have. They won't get rid of those top two guys. But you really got to push it if they come calling about Russell Wilson. 412-928-9370. Dante is in the car. What's up, Dante?
Hey, Donnie, I really love your show. I think you're doing great on the radio.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, did you notice watching this game that it I love the word you used, that you called it satisfying, because it seemed like early on in the game, like every, you know, Harbaugh team, they wanted to play rough with the Steelers. They wanted to set the tone. And they were, man, up to the whistle and a little past the whistle. I was starting to get really irritated in the first half that there were not penalties on the Chargers defense. But in the second half, they were throwing them left and right while the Steelers kept their composure. And the second half, they just totally out-physicaled the Chargers.
Oh, yeah, they played bully ball down the stretch, Dante. That last drive of the game, I haven't seen the Steelers do that in quite some time, where you have a lead. It's looking pretty likely that you are going to be able to win the game no matter what. But you go into that, what coaches call a four-minute offense, and, you know, there's, what, four and change, I think, left on the clock, a little bit under 5 minutes, and they just bullied the Chargers down the field. And one of the Chargers players joked after the game, like, oh, thank God you guys gave us a little breather at the two-minute warning. That was impressive. That was satisfying in and of itself. The entire game, though, it's rare that you come on the air after a game and you don't have things to nitpick even after a win. You know, was everything perfect right down to the dot? No. But those guys looked good, and they were better than the team they faced pretty clearly to me in all three facets, offense, defense, and special teams. 412-928-9370. Got to get my guy Hoagie in here. What's up, man?
What's going on, Donnie?
Nothing much. What's on your mind, dude?
So I want to preface it by saying that I'm very satisfied with how the team is doing. I think the offense will get better. I still have two questions that I really want answered. One, how will the defense do against a team that wants to put up a lot of points, like the Cowboys or even like the Chiefs? And what happens when the offense has to put up points?
I mean, that does remain to be the question. What I was also impressed with yesterday, we saw how bad the offense looked in the first couple of possessions. And then L.A. went down the field. Quentin Johnston was found wide open, a little blown coverage there. Some miscommunication there. Another one of the callers referenced that. L.A. went up 7-0. The Steelers punched right back, marched down the field, 70-yard drive, and scored a touchdown. And then the drive in which Calvin Austin had his touchdown. The Steelers had drives yesterday. Again, yeah, they had to punt the ball a few times, especially early. Were they perfect? No. That is very rarely going to happen, a perfect game all around. But in moments where in the last few seasons you thought, okay, they got to do something here, and then they didn't, those moments, those weightier moments, the term that Mike Tomlin likes to use, they came up big yesterday in those moments. They won a lot of the key spots in that game. Whether it was an individual play or drive, the Steelers were the better team when the game seemed to pick up steam. 412-928-9370 to join in on the conversation. Want to get your thoughts on the Steelers 3-0 start to this 2024 campaign. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Nick Faribault will join us just after 7 o'clock. Coming up next, Joel and I will pick these Monday night football games, and Joelie is going to cook up some of his best bets for both the Jags and Bills, along with the Commanders and Bengals. That is coming up next. It's Donnie Football on 93.7 The Fan. Little piece of news from yesterday's Steelers-Chargers game at Acrisure Stadium. This coming down literally about a minute ago. Adam Schefter, the NFL suspending Chargers safety Derwin James for one game for repeated violations of playing rules intended to protect the health and safety of players, including during Sunday's game against the Steelers. So this presumably on the hit to Pat Freiermuth, yes, where he lowered the head to make forcible contact. Man, that's something. I know last season we saw that happen with DeMonte KZ. He was suspended. I mean, he got suspended for, what, 4 to 5 games. He got nailed in the last month of the season, and he only got to return with the team going to the postseason. So there's a little nugget from yesterday's matchup. Donnie Football with you. Joel Nelson with me behind the glass. Joel, a big set of games for two teams, especially two teams that go into tonight with a record of 0 wins and 2 losses. Jacksonville is 0-2. Cincinnati is 0-2. You start out 0-3 in the AFC, and that is almost a death sentence. So we're going to pick these games here. We were talking during the break, Joel. That first game kicking off in about a half hour, Jacksonville and Buffalo, that spread has moved a little bit. It was 5.5. It was then 4. It is now back to 4.5 as of a few minutes ago. Buffalo, the favorite, -4.5, the home team. I'll let you bat lead off here, Joel.
It's a really, really tough one, and I think I'm going to have to stick with that momentum that Jacksonville has right now, and I would take the Jaguars plus 4.5. They feel like too good of a team to be 0-3, and I think they'll find a way. They've got a good group of guys around Trevor Lawrence. There's no Evan Engram. He's got a hamstring injury, but otherwise, I like what Trevor Lawrence has around him, and I think, and I know the Bills are off to a good start this year, but I think it's going to be Jacksonville at least covering. I don't know if they'll win. Buffalo might win a close one. I would take the Jaguars plus the 4.5.
Yeah, we've also seen some weird Monday night games in the last couple of seasons where Buffalo is a favorite. They should take care of business. Last season, the Denver Broncos went in there with Russell Wilson. He had one of his best games in a Broncos uniform against Buffalo. He really did turn back the clock in that game against the Bills last season. I think Jacksonville, they're going to be a desperate team. They need to get a victory. They know that because even in a weak division that they have, the AFC South, there's still a team that they don't want to fall too far behind of, and that is the Houston Texans. I think Jacksonville could win this game outright, but I agree with you, Joel. They will cover the plus 4.5. Any big bets you have on that game? Individually, it could be a parlay. What do you have cooked up for that first matchup?
My same game parlay from this game: Josh Allen, 175 passing yards. James Cook, 40 rushing yards. And Jaguars rookie Brian Thomas Jr., 25 receiving yards. Those three picks there to -105, almost doubling your money on that. I think James Cook also scores. He's plus money to get a touchdown. So is Travis Etienne Jr. I think both those guys get into the end zone tonight in this first game.
Ooh, okay. Second game, Washington at Cincinnati. Bengals need a win. 0-2. They could possibly fall 3 games behind the Steelers by the end of the first month of the football season. They are over a touchdown favorite. Now, -7.5 at home against Washington. I actually think Cincy can cover this. I think this is a game where the Bengals know they need to make a statement.
Well, it's almost just like the Ravens, how the Ravens needed to make a statement to fall from, you know, potentially being 0-3, and they did that against Dallas just barely. But I can understand the 7.5. They are back at full strength. They're getting T. Higgins tonight. So now Washington's defense has to cover both Chase and T. Higgins. I think the Commanders cover the spread of +7.5, but I think Cincinnati wins the game. So the Bengals will win this game, but by one possession.
Okay, that's so the we're split on that one because I think Cincy wins this by two scores and covers. Best bet you have for this game?
Ja'Marr Chase touchdown in that game. That's a plus money.
Is it? Okay. I'm riding with you into war on this, Jolie. I will ride into war with you on your best bets.
James Cook and Ja'Marr Chase are my two favorite touchdowns tonight. Etienne Jr. is another good one. He scored in both games so far for them. That's where I like it tonight.
Fan weather, that's brought to you by Sun Chevy. Check out 24 Silverado 1500s at 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Cloudy. Some rain in the forecast tonight, low of 67. Coming up, Nick Faribault, Steelers reporter from PennLive.com. He joins us in a few minutes before we send you on your way to the NFL on Westwood One at 7:30. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Donnie Football with you for a little bit longer tonight. 7:30 is when our NFL on Westwood One coverage begins. You can listen to Washington and Cincinnati right here on The Fan tonight. You can also listen on your Odyssey app for the other game, Jacksonville and Buffalo, which kicks off in about 20 minutes. You'll have to search that one on your Odyssey app, but you can also listen to that one on there. Right now, we go out to the fan hotline, and we welcome in our guy, Nick Faribault, a Steelers reporter from PennLive.com. Nick, I want to start with what you tweeted out about Najee Harris, the story that is on PennLive.com for people to go find. Najee Harris leaving the game in a sling. Jaylen Warren needs an MRI. The severity of those two injuries, and what are the odds to you that we get Cordarrelle Patterson as the starting running back on Sunday in Indy?
I can't rule it out, but I do, you know, I've seen Donnie, I've seen guys in slings, boots, even on crutches the day after a game play on Sunday. So it's not crazy. Just because you're in a sling, for example, does not mean you are going to be out. Now, I think with Najee Harris, I think that's what it's going to be. I don't think this is a serious injury. That was not the vibe I got. He's clearly battling something, but I didn't, you know, go there saying, wow, this guy's going to be out for a very long time. Now, I think Jaylen Warren has been hampered by the hamstring plus whatever this knee injury is for a minute. I could see him missing a little bit of time. He seemed a little more somber when talking to him about, you know, going to get that MRI. So from what I'm hearing, you know, I'm thinking Warren might miss a little bit of time. I don't think Najee Harris is going to miss any time from what I've heard. I don't have any indication that this is, you know, some significant shoulder, elbow, wrist, whatever it is on his arm injury. So I think, you know, you're probably going to see Najee Harris and Cordarrelle Patterson against Indianapolis. I think that's where this is trending. And I think they're going to give Jaylen Warren a little bit of time off. I think he needs it. I think he's still banged up. I don't think the hamstring's 100%, and then this knee pops up on the same leg. So, yeah, I think that's a guy that needs some rest. But I don't think Najee Harris is too much in danger of missing this game.
Justin Fields yesterday, easily his most complete game as a Steelers quarterback. I mean, there's only three regular season games to go with, but 245 through the air. He was 25 of 32. Touchdown through the air, a touchdown on the ground. He did have that goofy interception that Bud Dupree came down with. But given watching that game in person, Nick, and then on your rewatch and the coach's film, your take on how Justin Fields looked yesterday?
He played well, Donnie. He played well. You know, I think the biggest thing is how comfortable he's looking. He's so confident. You see him opening up. You know, I think you see the middle of the field opening up a little bit now for him. He's throwing with anticipation. I think the biggest thing that I saw on the coach's film that I didn't see in game was I really like going to the end zone view because you can sometimes see the stripe of his helmet. Is he looking off linebackers and safeties trying to create a little space there? He was doing that. Like, if you go back to Calvin Austin's touchdown, he looks left first to hold that safety just a second and then comes back around and just rips it to Austin where the safety would have been. He created that open window. Same thing with the Pat Freiermuth ball. Freiermuth didn't catch it right before the half, but just a perfectly placed football. I do think the interception, you know, was a bad decision. I don't think he should have thrown that ball. That was a pretty heavily covered up route regardless. And it wasn't to like George Pickens, right? It was Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, he's a running back that was playing wide receiver because, you know, Van Jefferson had gotten injured. So definitely one that he would want back, but he was pretty efficient. He was getting the ball out. Didn't really take too many bad sacks. I think it took one that I would say. His accuracy is really good. And he's playing with confidence and he hit all areas of the field and he's hitting them with anticipation. So he's setting guys up with, you know, yards after catch ability as well. He played very well. This was his best game in the Steelers uniform to me. Everything just keeps taking a step up, Donnie. It's like, okay, the training wheels were on for the first 2 weeks. They took the training wheels off a little bit yesterday, and when they did, Justin Fields rewarded them.
If we find out that Russell Wilson is healthy this week, who would you start if you were the man in charge?
Justin Fields. I think you have to. He not only does he have the hot hand, this is a guy that has improved every single week, right? We talked about it. I said the training wheels, right? Week one was QB run game, rollouts, let's get you in a rhythm. Week two was a lot of quick game stuff. Fields kind of elevated you at times, but struggled in the second half with the penalties and all of that. But then you went back to this game and you said they had to target the middle of the field. They had to target tight windows, and he did it. I mean, he's looked confident. He's not putting the ball in harm's way. He's not had a blatant decision that you have gone like, what are you doing, right? You haven't had that decision. You have cut out most of the negativity from Chicago. And so, listen, I think you need to see what this guy is. This guy is a young quarterback with lots of talent. And listen, if he crashes back down to earth, which is completely possible, you have Russell Wilson. I just think, you know, what Justin Fields is doing right now, it's locker room malpractice, Donnie, to not keep playing him. That locker room is rallying around this guy. It's not that they don't believe in Russ. It's just that Justin has shown what it means, you know, to step into this role, and he has led this team to 3-0. He has been along for the ride.
Talking to Nick Faribault from PennLive.com. Nick, flipping to the defensive side of the ball, Nick Herbig, man, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, just 19 snaps. Now people are starting to say, is this dude better than Alex Highsmith? I, for one, think the Steelers have a great problem here because they have, obviously, Watt, one of the best edge rushers in the game, and it seems like they have 2 pretty damn good ones right behind him.
They have a great problem. You don't have 3 outside linebackers that are this good. I think, you know, in the context of Herbig's ascension and what Watt does every week on the other side of him, I think some people have started to underrate what Alex Highsmith brings to the table. He is so savvy. He's a great run defender. He's a great pass rusher. You watch the film before Alex Highsmith hurt his groin. He was beating Rashawn Slater pretty consistently all day. They could not run to his side because Slater could not move him. And in the past game, he was getting consistent pressure. And then you look at Herbig, man. I mean, this guy must have rockets attached to his cleats. The way he gets upfield in like 2 steps right around the corner is so impressive to me. He's got great, great bend. You see the little bits of that he's taken from TJ Watt. You see the little moves he's taken from Alex Highsmith. It's like the perfect environment to put this guy in, and he's just taken off. I mean, Herbig to me would start on, I don't know, 25 other teams probably at least. Like, that's how deep this room is. And listen, I think, honestly, Donnie, like, let's say Highsmith misses a few weeks with this groin injury. I think people are going to be very pleasantly surprised what they see in DeMarvin Leal. He had a great summer. I think while we know they have 3, I think they have 4 quality guys here at outside linebacker that they can trust. And those top 3 are something serious. And I think they need to rotate them more. I think that's something that you can call for. But I think that they have a great situation here with these top 3 guys.
Nick, before we let you go, you were putting some clips out earlier. You had the All-22, the coach's film going, and I was loving every second of the Cam Hayward stuff, him just throwing around offensive linemen, making plays, not necessarily numbers that are eye-popping on the stat sheet. He did have a sack yesterday. Hayward, man, at 35 years old, is just having a hell of a start.
I mean, 35-year-old men are not supposed to do what he is doing. Donnie, my favorite rep of the game by any individual was the one I tweeted out where he fights through a tight end, pulls him back into the first puller, tackles the second puller, and they're running back together. I mean, Aaron Donald-ish, right? That's what that looked like. I was like, my goodness, this guy's 35 years old. His power is insane for that age. He's having a legitimately elite season. It's not just good, Donnie. It's an elite season. Like, he, through the first three games of the NFL season, he is a top five interior defensive lineman in football. He is playing like that. Elite run defense, great pass rush. He has dominated games. I think one play that people maybe will forget yesterday is, you remember when it was tied 7-7 right after the Steelers' touchdown drive. The Chargers were in the red zone. It was 3rd and 8. And Herbert overthrew the Chargers receiver to the back of the end zone because Cam Hayward collapsed the pocket and they forced a field goal. Obviously, they wouldn't score after that, but that could have been a touchdown. He was open. And so Cam Hayward has just made such a huge, huge impact on this team. He still has the leadership, of course. I know there were a lot of people that were questioning, should you pay this guy? And there was an obvious risk to it after the groin injury last year, but he's proven why. His power game, Donnie, is ageless. Until he loses his strength or power, he's not going to experience a significant decline. He is as strong as he was when he was 28 years old, hitting his peak. And that is something to be said, because we do not see careers like Cam Hayward's very often anymore in the modern NFL, but he keeps doing it.
Nick Farabaugh, Steelers scribe from PennLive.com. Check out his stuff. Nick, as always, man, thanks for taking the time.
Hey, thanks for having me on as always, Donnie. Appreciate it, man.
Fan text line 412-928-9370. That is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We got to get out of here. We have NFL coverage coming your way. The NFL on Westwood One, Monday Night Football. One game kicking off in about 10 minutes. The game you will hear right here on 93.7 The Fan, Cincinnati and Washington. That one kicks off at 8:15, but NFL on Westwood One coverage coming your way in about 10 minutes' time. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Jolie, thanks as always tonight. A thank you to the folks that chimed in. A thank you to Nick Farabaugh as well there for joining us for a couple of minutes. Donnie Football signing off on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.